Hi, you're listening to Funny You Should Ask, the podcast of Belmont Wesley Fellowship, and I'm David Hollis. I'm your host today and the campus minister for Belmont Wesley Fellowship. And I apologize, I sound worse than usual. I have a head cold or something that has taken over my body, and it's very gross and terrible, and I'm sorry for that. I won't go into too much further detail. But I want to continue today by talking about issues of justice. We kind of have this theme going here, I guess, Justice in July, or something like that. And we saw another figure of justice pass away just a few days ago, John Lewis, whose life was remarkable and gave his life for civil rights, for freedom. And I've been reflecting on his life. His life impacts Nashville in lots of ways. He was a student here and really started his movement and his work while he was in Nashville. So, you know, kind of the faith formation that went into that in his life. And he is sort of perhaps most famous in terms of his mantra or his kind of philosophy of talking about making good trouble or necessary trouble. And it strikes me that that is a take perhaps on faith that maybe a lot of people don't get. And I think maybe that's why we sometimes see this confusion about people who are protesting or who are making trouble, making noise, making things difficult. And I think it really kind of goes with the life of someone like John Lewis, right? Who in the hours after his death, many people released statements or posted on social media. And there is a way of, for I guess maybe lack of a better term, sanitizing or whitewashing someone's life when they die. And they're kind of maybe not around anymore to sort of say, hey, that's, you know, that's not what I'm about or whatever. And also it's interesting to see kind of people who, and you know, taken at their best, want to maybe point out that he was a notable person. But, you know, to see, again, a couple of politicians who posted photos of John Lewis that were not of John Lewis. And, you know, we could go down a rabbit hole, of course, of, you know, kind of who is to blame for that or what happened there. But also to see people, politicians, public figures who, quite frankly, have not lived in the same manner as John Lewis, who seem to have perhaps constructed their life or their work around undoing many of the good things that he did and the things that he fought for, particularly voting rights. And it's troublesome. You want to think that, hey, perhaps this person could learn from the example of someone like John Lewis, and maybe at his death they realize, wow, I've been getting this wrong, or I've been, you know, I've been fighting the wrong fight. I've been making unnecessary trouble and bad trouble. And perhaps that they might change. You know, I've said on this podcast many times before, I said it last week, that I'm all about change. I've obviously, everything in my theology has to do with change and transformation. And so I do pray in these moments that leaders would recognize this life of this person who was beaten, who was arrested, who, you know, had several things done to him that, you know, good people don't do, right? But learning that that's not what we're called to be, in the sense of, you know, we're not called to just lay down and let anything happen. And that, again, is a problem, I think, for many Christians. They have either bought into a false gospel or a weakened gospel or a cheap gospel. Dietrich Bonhoeffer would call, you know, cheap grace. And they don't connect the life and death and resurrection of Jesus with standing up against evil and the evil that certain people are doing, you know, not just a kind of disembodied evil. When there are people, when there are leaders, where there are government officials oppressing other people and treating certain people as greater than or less than, it is the duty of a follower of Christ to stand up against that. It's not even something that you might do, take or leave. We're called to defend those who are being persecuted, abused, harmed in any way, no matter what that person believes or if they believe the same thing at all. It's not about Christians taking care of other Christians. It's that this is an overall calling of what we're to do. And again, when Jesus' life and death and resurrection are boiled down to you should be nice people, you know, you should not cause trouble. Whatever kind of trouble it is, you shouldn't cause trouble. You shouldn't be getting arrested. You shouldn't yell at people, or you shouldn't protest, or you shouldn't march. Then there's been a lot of misleading going on. There's been a lot of half-truth or no-truth being shared. So I think one of the first things we can do is to truly reconnect with the radical nature of the gospel, that Jesus is coming. He says, he reads a scroll in the Gospel of Luke from the prophet Isaiah of setting the oppressed free and of defending those who are being oppressed and of bringing healing. And then he says, I am coming to fulfill this, or I am here to fulfill this. This is being fulfilled this day. And almost immediately, people try to kill him. People try to throw him off a cliff, we're told. We need to reckon with that. We maybe don't get these full stories in all of their complexity because we have sanitized, we have tried to really rob Jesus of the power and the protest and the radical nature of his life, which led to his death. And I've talked about on here, you know, when you have a theology that says someone was sent to die, then when they die, that's not only no problem or nothing to see here, then, oh, well, that's complete fulfillment of what he was sent to do. But when you have a theology that says someone came to bring about a new way of living, to bring about and usher in a new world order, a new kingdom, kinship, whatever we want to call it, which Jesus says time and time again, that's what I'm here to do, and then he's killed, that's entirely a different thing. And when you see why was he killed, why was he beaten and persecuted and crucified, and you peel back the layers of either what you've been told about everything being God's will, and maybe you see that this has something to do with people in power wanting to stay in power, people in power not wanting to give that up, people who are just fine oppressing others or belittling others or even harming others as long as it doesn't impact them. And when you see someone who is resisting that, protesting that, and leading people against that, particularly when it comes to ultimately impact things like money and status and prestige, then you have a different reading of the gospel and who Jesus was and is, and who Jesus calls Jesus' followers to be. Because in the same way that we can't take someone like John Lewis and post a photo of him or not him, and then you know, say he was such a great person, he did so many great things, and then in the very next breath or in the very next tweet or whatever else, go against what he gave his life for, those two don't add up. So it also doesn't add up when people who are called to do the things Jesus did, people who are called to give their lives in the way Jesus gave his life, abandon that calling. And they run toward fame, money, power, prestige, whatever. And they recreate the kind of system or the kind of situation that Jesus was, again, it was coming to destroy. It was coming to give his life to tear down. And so, are we about good trouble? Are we about necessary trouble? Are we about not dehumanizing someone else, not calling someone else a devil or saying that they're evil, but telling them that they're wrong? What they're doing is wrong. The way they're behaving is wrong. And certainly, if they're going to say that they're a follower of Jesus, or that they're doing these kinds of things because they're a follower of Jesus, there is a calling on us to say, you need to take another look at Jesus. Maybe you've been misled about what Jesus is about. Jesus is not about just being nice. People who are nice usually don't get killed because they were nice. They were doing something that certain people thought was not very nice, probably because it was directed at those people. So may we consider who our heroes are, who our examples are. And if we're going to lift them up, then we need to lift up the things that they did, the things that they gave their lives for, and we need to share those things. If we're going to claim the name of Jesus, to use that as a label of who we are or what we do, we're going to be making some good trouble at some point. That's what we're called to do. May we be found faithful. May we care for each other, because we're not called to do any of that alone. This is all about joining together in what Jesus called us to. This is why Jesus always creates community, and the Holy Spirit always brings about community and unity within that community. But may we have the courage to make good and necessary trouble. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.